ङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवती मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गी मदचित्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी अम्मेनिं पदतालिल्वीण अभयमन्नोदीरुमीये चम्मे तृत्करपल्लवाल्तर्विदं स्नेहामृतं तूपिनम् சம்மோதத்தோடு சாந்த்வனங்கள் அருளும் தேஜஸ்வினி சத்குரு பிரம்மானந்த ரசம் வழங்கிய பொருளே நீதன்மையானாஸ்ரயம் பிரம்மானந்த ரசம் வழங்கிய பொருளே நீதன்மையானாஸ்ரயம் பிரம்மானந்த ரசம் வழங்கிய பொருளே நீதன்மையானாஸ்ரயம் ये त्वक्षरमनिर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गमचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थमचलं ध्रुवम् संनियम्येन्द्रियग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः ये त्वक्षरमनिर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गमचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थमचलं ध्रुवम् संनियम्येन्द्रियग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः ये त्वक्षरमनिर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गमचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थमचलं ध्रुवम् संनियम्येन्द्रियग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः
Yeah, Krishna, like he, in the first question of Arjuna was asked to, like, which of the devotees, Saguna Bhaktas and Nirguna Bhaktas, who are better? Evam Sadvayukta ye Bhaktas Tvam Pariyupasate Yecha Apyaksharam Avyaktam Aksharam Avyaktam Bhajanam and then normal Bhaktas. So Krishna said about normal Sadguna Saguna Bhaktas, he spoke in the second shloka, that Maya Vesha Mano Imam Nitya Yukta Upasate. So there Krishna said that those devotees, Saguna Bhaktas, are very dear to me. So what about Nirguna Bhaktas? So anticipating that, since Krishna explained first Saguna Bhaktas, Arjuna would be grasping or understanding that Saguna Bhaktas are greater, Nirguna Bhaktas are inferior. So not to make Arjuna understand it properly, immediately Krishna speaks about Nirguna Bhaktas in these two shlokas. So these two shlokas speak about Aksharam Avyaktam, Avyakta Bhajanam. और निर्गुण पूजा, निर्गुण उपासना और निर्गुण भक्ति, ऑल आर द सेम थिंग. सो दैट इज व्हाट कृष्णा स्पीक्स अबाउट इन दीज टू श्लोकास. सो एज वी ऑलरेडी डिस्कस लाइक निर्गुणम एंड सगुणम. सो ब्रह्मन इज निर्गुणम, ब्रह्मन कैन नॉट हैव एनी गुणम. इट हैज टू बी लाइक निर्गुणम बिकॉज गुणम, एनी गुणम और एनी क्वालिटी लिमिट्स ब्रह्मन. एंड ऑफकोर्स सदैव सौम्यम अग्र आसी. Before creation, there was only Brahman. That means there is nothing else to become a guna. In order for a gunam, an object to have a gunam or a quality, there should be something apart from the object. But that is not there for Brahman, because Brahman alone existed initially. Therefore, Brahman has to be nirgunam. But still, for some people, majority of the people, it's not easy to worship. It's not easy to do bhajanam without a form. Therefore, saguna upasana, saguna bhakti is prescribed by the shastra. Brahman, nirguna Brahman is given a form, and that form, when a person, maya vesha manoema, when a person concentrates completely or fully on the form, what happens is he is slowly taken from sagunam to nirgunam. How is that? By that particular form. One form is to be seen everywhere. One form we have to see everywhere. Maya vesha manoema. That means like the mind has been fixed, and their mind is fixed on me. That means like whatever they see as that particular form. So that form pervades the entire world. When it pervades the entire world, it's not limited by space, because it pervades. That which is pervades space cannot be limited by space. Form is something which is limited by space, limited in space, whereas this form pervades space, means it becomes unlimited. So that is the way how this goes. So that is nirguna bhajanam. Like when a person sees that form everywhere, it is nirguna bhajanam. So from sagunam to nirgunam, a person has to go through nirgunam. He cannot say, okay, I'll cross over and realize, somehow Amma will make me realize without like having or concentrating on Nirguna Brahman. I don't want Parabrahman, Nirguna Brahman and all. For me Krishna is fine, for me Amma is fine. I don't need anything else, I want a form. Amma's form is enough for me. If somebody says, that's not going to work, it's not going to work that way. Whether they want it or not, the moment a person surrenders, like Krishna said, like when that comes, there is total surrender. In that case, Ishvara will ensure that he takes us beyond the form. So there is a famous incident in Ramakrishna Paramahansa's life, though it's not popularized much, maybe because like they want like form worship and also a lot of things get veiled in these missions. In these missions, a lot of things are not explained clearly, maybe for the benefit of people. It's not a holistic view that we get. Ramakrishna Paramahansa was so attached to the form of Kali. So he was so attached to the form of Kali that he wouldn't let go of the form. So it seems Kali once sent Totapuri, Ramakrishna's Advaita Guru, Totapuri Maharaj. Kali sent Totapuri to Ramakrishna Paramahansa. And Totapuri said, okay, like imagine a mirror between your eyebrows. Imagine a mirror between your eyebrows, bring the form of Kali. Ramakrishna Paramahansa did that. Immediately using his power, using his yogic siddhi, Totapuri like broke the mirror. The mirror which had Kali's form, the mirror was broken. When the mirror broke, Ramakrishna Paramahansa experienced that Kali pervaded the entire world. So that's how like Kali made Ramakrishna Paramahansa realize that the form is unreal, form is not ultimately real. If a person has to realize, if a person needs moksha, he can choose a form, but he has to go through Nirguna Bhajanam. He has to go through Nirguna Bhajanam. We already saw like as to how that happens. When a person completely surrenders, sees one form everywhere, it becomes a formless. So in that case, if it is one form that is seen everywhere, I don't need a form. Let me directly see everything as like one entity, one Brahman, everything as one object. That Brahman which is Aksharam, which is Avyaktam. Let me imagine that way, let me contemplate on it that way, let me worship on it that way. I don't need a form. Why would I like touch my nose like going around, round my head? I'll directly touch my nose. If somebody says, that is what Krishna says in this particular shloka. So, but majority he also says in this shloka, which we'll see later, as to why or the reason behind Krishna saying that, or Krishna's explanation of Saguna Bhakta initially, because majority of the people cannot concentrate on formless, therefore they need a form. But here he speaks about Nirguna Upasana, Nirguna Bhajanam. So Arjuna shouldn't think that Nirguna Bhaktas are inferior to Saguna Bhaktas because Krishna said in the previous shloka that they are dear to me. So Krishna says, Ye tu. So tu means but. Ye, those who. Ye tu aksharam anirdeshyam. Aksharam. Aksharam means sharam. Sharam or sharati iti sharaha. So sharam means mutable or changing. It's called sharam. That's why akshara is called kodastha. Kutastu akshara ucchyate. That's what Krishna says in the 15th chapter. So akshara means it doesn't change. That means it is changeless. If it is changeless, it has to be formless immediately. Because any form is subject to the shad vikara, like janma, vriddhi, janma, astitva, vriddhi, parinama, apakshe, nasham. So birth and death, modification, growth, etc. So that automatically comes for a form. It's the reason why even the form of Amma or even the form of Ramakrishna Paramahansa's form had to be terminated. Amma's form also will be terminated. Krishna's form had to be terminated. So for any form, whether it is Ishwara's form or not, it doesn't matter. It will have to finally vanish. But this is formless. Since it is Aksharam, that means it is formless. Formless Bhajanam. So, yetu aksharam anirdeshyam. So, anirdeshyam, nirdeshyam means like nirdesham. Nirdesham means giving instruction, trying to point out that, okay, this is like this. Aksharam means formless. How can you point at the formless? You cannot point to the formless, you cannot speak about the formless. That's why there is Amma Nama of Manuvacha Aghochara. Amma is Manuvacha Aghochara. So, it manovacham agochara, beyond mind, beyond words. So, that cannot be expressed in words or thoughts. So, anirdeshyam, it cannot be expressed. So, that is what? So, yetu aksharam anirdeshyam pariyupasate. Again, pariyupasana, that's why this pariyupasana, worshipping everywhere, like trying to always focus on the form or the formless, is common for both. In bhakti we or in jnanam, whatever it is, we have to have concentration, we have to do pari upasana. It's not upasana. When we do archana, it is upasana. When we do bhajan, it is upasana. But pari upasana means like surrounding. That means in 360 degrees upasana. It's the literal meaning of pari upasana. But that means always worshipping. At all times worshipping. So whoever worship like pari, who worship or do pariyupasana of aksharam and anirdeshyam, te, those people, the last line of fourth shloka, te prapnuvanti, they attain maam eva, maam, me, eva, alone. They attain me alone, the last word, like forget the two words, that is like explanation about how the bhaktas are, sarvabhute hite rataha hite, characteristics of such bhaktas. So Krishna says, like if somebody says, Krishna initially spoke about Saguna Bhakti. So when Arjuna asked the question, he said like Saguna Bhakti first. That means Saguna Bhakti is greater. Because whatever you say first, like when somebody asks you a question, we say what the reason we first give would be like that we really believe, that we really think is right. So Krishna said Saguna Bhakti first. Therefore, Saguna Bhakti is greater. If somebody says the difference Krishna himself says, Saguna Bhaktas are dear to me, Nirguna Bhaktas attain me alone. So what's the difference between both? Saguna Bhaktas are dear to me, Nirguna Bhaktas attain me alone. Means Nirguna Bhaktas are one with me, Saguna Bhaktas are dear to me. That means difference is there. The difference also will vanish, as Krishna says. Difference will vanish, but we cannot, therefore we cannot, Arjuna's question itself is in a way faulty, that like Krishna says, in a way Krishna is telling, I cannot vouch for one and tell you that, okay, this is greater, that is greater. I cannot do you say that. In both of those, if you have Parivipassana, then you will realize. But Nirguna Bhakta, Saguna Bhakta are dear to me. If they are dear to me, then I will take care of them. I will ensure that they realize. Whereas Nirguna Bhaktas, they directly realize. So how do Nirguna Bhaktas realize? So what is Nirguna Bhajanam? Like if it is Anirdeshyam, if it is Anirdeshyam, like how can we know it? So that's the question. That's the question that arises in the mind of seeker. Like if it cannot be explained, if it is Manovacha, Magochara, then how will I know it? How can I know it? So Kathopanishad gives a beautiful shloka for this. Asti iti bhruvato anyatra tat katam upalabhyate. Asti iti bhruvato. Asti iti bhruvato. When it is experienced as asti, asti means is, there is. Or when Shastra says there is the self is there. And when we experience it as I exist, then what more you need, or what else way you need to know the self? So that's why Spuranam. And there is always a Spuranam in the mind. Spurati Hrit Swayam Paramapurna Sar. That Spuranam is always there. That is what we call as Chit. So that Chit is always there. So that is always there in us. But some people can like go beyond the ego, transcend duality by saying that this is Jadam. Chit alone is real, Jadam is Mithya. Whatever I can find as Jadam, I'll negate it and I am the blissful Chit. And that like I will, instead of trying to be, I am the speaker, I am like giving a discourse on Gita, I am the self that just exists. There's only one way of expressing it, exist or existence. Spuranam, I exist, I exist. I just remain that. If a person is able to do that, then that is what is Nirguna Bhajanam. That is directly moksha. You don't need any bhajanam. But that's not the way it works, as Krishna will explain later. So that is how we can find out. If somebody says, how will I know the, if it is Anirdeshyam, how can I know it? You can know it by the consciousness that is always there in you. That is pulsating. The pulsating I, now the I which we are associated with is attached to the body, mind, everything else. But still it is fine. Due to sadhana, by continued practice, we'll be able to remove all those and realize that one consciousness. So it can be known. So how does a Nirguna Bhakta realize? That's what Krishna gives, like various descriptions of how a Nirguna Bhakta, or like what will be the characteristics of a Nirguna Bhakta. So the characteristics are explained so that we can follow it. If we implement it, we will be able to become a Nirguna Bhakta. So characteristics, like wherever Krishna speaks about Stita Prajnas or Bhaktas, in this 13th to 18th shloka about Bhaktas, about Stita Prajna, about Guna Atita and all, what it means is, if we are able to practice those, we will also become like that. So that's what Krishna here does. So the Pariyupasate Sarvatragam Achindyam Cha. So it is Anirdeshyam and Sarvatragam. So though it is Aksharam and Anirdeshyam, Sarvatragam. So Sarvatragam means like it is pervasive everywhere, it is present everywhere. sarvatra gam means it is present everywhere, that means it is all pervasive. The form bhajan will take us to this all pervasive state. It is all pervasive because anirdeshyam means that which pulsates. So whatever objects that we see, sattva bhasika, chitkvavetara, sattayahi chit, chittayahi aham. Sattva bhasika, chitkvavetara, sat. For sat to exist, there should be chit. So wherever we see objects existing, we can know for sure that there is a chit. Chit is that which pulsates in us. Chit is that which is sentient, that means it can feel its own existence and other existences. So wherever we see objects as existing, there is a chit behind it. And that chit is not many, it is just one chit. One chit, like Kutastha principle, one chit is what? Kutastha achalam dhruvam, Krishna himself says Kutastha. So it is sarvatragam, it is present everywhere. Achintyam, so it is sarvatragam, it is present everywhere. How? Because wherever existence is there, that chit is there. That means that chit is present everywhere. Taking the analogy of dream. In dream, we can say the dreamer. Dreamer is the one who throws light on the dream world. That's why he is also called, Jiva is called?
Tejasa.
Tejas, like Swatejas, we can say. Like there is his own light. With his own light, you don't need any light to illumine the dream world because he himself is light. So that means, since he is the light behind everything, he is present in each and every object, each and every place of the dream world. Similarly, it is chit which illumines the objects of the waking world. Therefore, chit is present everywhere. So, sarvatragam, anirdeshyam, like you cannot say this and that. If you cannot say, if you cannot speak about it, you cannot think about it as well. That is achintyam. So, achintyam anirdeshyam means manovacha, aghochara, sarvatragam. If it is sarvatragam, so if it is sarvatragam, there can be a doubt. If sarvatragam, if the truth that the Nirguna Bhakta or the state the Nirguna Bhakta is that he finds himself sarvatragam. Sarvatragam means he finds himself everywhere. So if he is present everywhere, then there can be a doubt. If he is present everywhere, then won't it like taint him? Won't sins taint him? Like in some place where sins are being committed. If he is there, it will taint him, it will affect him. So won't it happen? It cannot happen. Why? Kutastham. He is Kutastha. So he is the witness. So he is the substratum. Even as like the water that we see in desert, the water may have impurities. There are impurities in certain portions of the water. But still, the desert, which is present throughout the water, the desert is not tainted because it is the substratum. So Kutastha means he is the substratum, he is the witness. You can say it in different ways, like substratum is from, like, if we consider now the dream, then the dreamer was the substratum or is the substratum. But while dreaming, the dreamer is a mere witness. So that is what Kutastham. And Kutastham, if he is like witness and he is present everywhere, yet he is a witness, then he has to, like, if he is present everywhere, then how can he move? So, achalam. Achalam. Chalam means like movement. Achalam. So he is anirdeshyam, cannot be expressed in words. Achintyam cannot be thought. And achalam, he cannot move because there is no other place where he is not there. Therefore, he cannot move. And he is dhruvam. Dhruvam means he is eternal. Since he is achintyam, since he is anirdeshyam, since he is achalam, therefore there is no way that he can cease to exist. That means he is beyond deshakala. Deshakala aparichinna. So deshakala aparichinna. Aparichinnam. Parichinnam means limited. Aparichinnam means unlimited. Unlimited by deshakalam. So it is unlimited by deshakalam means it is dhruvam, it is eternal. So these are characteristics of the state of nirguna bhakta, that means characteristics of Brahman. So Brahman is Brahman is aksharam, anirdesham, achintyam, achalam, kudastam, sarvatragam, dhruvam. So all these are like different, we can relate each one, as I said, like we can relate each of the, from one word, like we can relate or we can derive the next word. But all this means that is advitiyam, it is the substratum of the mithya jagat, that is what is the meaning here. Whatever is there, desha kalam, or whatever is there, mind, everything that we can find, term it as jagat, and that is mithya, and this is brahma satyam, it is a substratum of mithya jagat, that is the meaning here. So in that case, like this is about the nature of the state that the Nirguna Bhakta is in, but how will he realize? Te prapnuvanti. So he will attain this state, like he will attain me, means that means like he, I am of all these natures. So that is an indirect way of telling Krishna, telling me, whenever I use I mean I am Brahman of this characteristic. So then how does the Nirguna Bhakta realize? So samniyamya indriya gramam. Sanniyamya indriya gramam. Indriya gramam means like sense organs, all those sense organs, the group of sense organs. Samniyamya. Niyamya means controlling. Samniyamya means samyak niyamya, in a very good way, controlling. So controlling the sense organs, controlling means what should we do? From Amma's awakened children yesterday, divert it inward. So that is what samniyamya. So samniyamya indriya gramam, like take the sense organs away from sense objects. If we take it away from sense objects, there is only one place we can focus, which is Brahman, which is Atman. But in that case, how will such a person live in the world? How will he see objects? How can he perceive objects then? If he is not seeing objects, he cannot live. If he is living, he has to see objects. If he has to see objects, then that means sense organs have to be focused on the objects, not on the self. So how is sanyam indriya gramam possible? That where Krishna says, sarvatra sama buddhayah. Sarvatra means everywhere, wherever it is. Sama buddhayah means vidhyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva shvapakecha panditaha samadarshinah. So tamadarshanam means a wise person sees vidhyavinaya sampanne brahmane na brahmana gavi means cow, hastini horse, shuni means dog, cha shvapakecha in a dog eater as well. He sees oneness everywhere. So though he sees objects, like once a person controls the sense organs, then whatever he sees becomes Ishvara, becomes Brahman. So that is sarvatra samabuddhaya. Everywhere he sees oneness, samabuddhi. Samabuddhi means seeing Brahman everywhere. That is the meaning of samabuddhi. So samabuddhi like can be interpreted as like control the mind, control the sense organs, and then focus the mind. We can say that, we can take that meaning as well, literal meaning, but here samabuddhi means seeing oneness everywhere. So controlling the sense organs doesn't, that's why Amma said like meditation helps us to overcome death, but how can you really overcome death? By seeing everything as Brahman. So that is how like we really control the sense organs. Really controlling sense organs means wherever we see only Brahman. So sarvatra samabuddhayah. So a person who sees everything as one, then obviously that means like he doesn't have any ragadvesham. If he doesn't have ragadvesham, then he is a mukta. He is in me. So does Krishna say that he doesn't have ragadvesham? Sarvabhuta hite rataha. He does activities. Sarvabhuta hitam. Sarvabhuta hitam. Sarvabhuta hitam. Sarvabhuta means all beings. Hitam means welfare. How can he do welfare, like the activities, or how can he always think about the welfare of all beings? Because of samabuddhi. Because he sees himself everywhere. journalists have asked Amma again and again, Amma, like, how are you able to spend 20 hours? In India, there have been record time, like 20 hours, 23 hours, 30 hours, at a stretch, like, helping out people. So Amma says that it is possible because I see myself everywhere. So when I see myself everywhere, then I cannot be without helping. So that means Sarva Bhuta Hitam means seeing oneness everywhere, which means there is no Ragadvesham, which means there is Mukti. And such a person, they prapnuvanti mameva, they attain me alone. So Nirguna Upa, Nirguna Bhaktas attain me. How do they attain me? They also do what you do. Krishna says, they also do what you, Arjuna. You are a Saguna Bhakta, that's why this doubt has come. Else you won't ask this doubt. So you being a Saguna Bhakta or Saguna Bhakta, whatever they do, and through whatever they do, the goal that they achieve, Nirguna Bhakta directly achieve. So Saguna Bhakta goes from worshipping a form to seeing that form everywhere. Nirguna Bhaktas directly control their sense organs and then they see oneness everywhere. How can they see oneness everywhere? Because there is only one Brahman. If there is only one Brahman and it is Achalam, then whatever we see has to be that one Brahman. That's why Sahasra Shirsha Purushah Sahasraksha Sahasrabhad. It's like a Purusha Sukta speaks about one Purusha having thousand heads, thousand eyes. That means everything is one being. That is how these Nirguna Bhaktas directly attain me. So it is fine to worship a form, like worshipping a form or worshipping formless, both parts, both will take us to the same goal. But this worship, if we realize this worship, is it really possible? Sanyamya Indriya Gramam, who controlling the sense organs and seeing oneness everywhere, is easier said than done. It's very easy to say, oh, like five people are sitting in front of me, everybody is Brahman. But can we really implement it? When it comes to like going out for lunch, I can only choose four people, so I have to choose four. That means the fifth person is not Brahman. So it's not easy to implement this oneness, worship of oneness. But if we can achieve it, then they directly become Brahman, that's what Krishna says. So it doesn't matter, indirectly Krishna is saying that it doesn't matter whether you worship Nirgunam or Sagunam. In both cases you have to have Pari Upasana, that is very important. In this case Pari Upasana of like seeing oneness everywhere, in Saguna Pari Upasana of considering me, that form as the ultimate goal. Form means like Nirguna Brahman behind the form as the ultimate goal. You don't need to, Nirguna Bhaktas directly focus on Nirguna Brahman, but you are focusing on the form, you fix your mind onto the form, remembering that Shraddhaya Pariyupetaha. Remembering that my goal, I currently have a form, my goal is Nirguna Brahman. And remembering that, worshipping the form, fixing the mind onto the form, that is what Saguna Bhaktas do, that is the Pariyupasana that Saguna Bhaktas do. Pariyupasana Nirguna Bhaktas do is seeing oneness everywhere. So both are almost the same. Like if we make, like once a person starts like getting into a form and trying to pervade that form everywhere, then automatically he becomes a Nirguna Bhakta. And then he realizes that is the way of life. So we cannot say that I'll attain Krishna, I'll attain moksha without Nirguna Bhajanam, I'll attain moksha by just Saguna Bhakti. So for me, Sagunam is enough. I don't want Nirgunam, like I'll directly attain. It's not possible. We have to go through Nirgunam. It's up to a person to choose. It's up to a person to choose as to like what, depending on his nature, depending on his mental state, his mental strength, he can choose Sagunam or Nirgunam. But as per Krishna, for majority of the people, Sagunam is not possible. So this Sarvatra Samabuddhayah or Sarvatragam, seeing oneness everywhere and all, that's not easy for majority of the people. Therefore, form bhajan is described. In both of these, the goal to be achieved is one Brahman, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That is the underlying truth behind both of these. Saguna Bhaktas, just keep it in mind, whereas Nirguna Bhaktas directly implement it. That's the only difference. If we forget that aspect of it, we forget Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya and then start arguing, start talking about like whether Sagunam is better or Nirgunam is better, then we will be the loser. We will be just spending time in futile discussions, just arguing things. There will be no actual conclusion out of the argument. Only thing is, we will be wasting time, we will be wasting our mental balance, our strength of the mind, all those energy we will be wasting with no purpose. So we should just remember that as per Krishna, the other way is Saguna to Nirguna to Brahman. For Saguna Bhakta, Ishvara himself takes them through Nirgunam to realization of moksha, whereas Nirguna Bhakta directly goes. Those are two different ways. Some people like Swami Vivekananda can just glance through pages and by heart it. For others, Avarti Asakrit Upadesha. Again and again and again and again, we have to read. So that's the difference between the mental state. Like as is the seeker, so will be the path, so will be the flow. But both ways, they will realize one goal. So, in the very next shloka, Krishna, like after explaining the Nirguna Bhajanam, he gives the reason as to why. If Nirguna Bhaktas directly attain you and Saguna Bhaktas are dear to you, Arjuna is like quite intelligent, his intellect is sharp, he is not like us. So his intellect is sharp. So he knows when Krishna says all this, he knows that, oh, you are trying to fool me now. Like you are saying Saguna Bhaktas are dear and Nirguna Bhaktas directly attain, then like, what is, like, why are you explaining both? Then why are you giving people the option? Don't give an option. Whenever you, options are there, that's when problems come. Whenever duality, option means duality. Wherever dvaitam is there will always be problem whether you want it or not. Just go to Starbucks, like you love the first ask, what do you want? A chai latte. What chai latte? Which size? Like if you go to Dunkin Donuts or somewhere else, they'll say like how much sugar? How much milk? And after that it will go on with the long list of questions or long list of options. So dvaitam means dukkam is automatically there. So why do you give option to people and then making them suffer? Directly give them the direct way to realization. Why are you kind of giving two options? So Krishna says, don't think that I don't anticipate your doubts. Krishna says, if your intellect is sharp, my intellect is more sharper than yours. So don't even think that I didn't think your point of view. Therefore, Krishna, and is kind of way anticipating that Arjuna might ask that, is even the fifth shloka. Klesho dikataraspesham.
Klesho
dikataraspesham.
Klesho dikataraspesham.
Avyaktasaktachetasam. Avyaktahigatirdukkam.
Avyaktahigatirdukkam.
Dehavadbiravapyate.
Dehavadbiravapyate.
Klesho dikataraspesham.
Klesho dikataraspesham.
Avyaktasaktachetasam.
Avyaktasaktachetasam.
Avyaktahigatirdukkam.
Avyaktahigatirdukkam.
Dehavadbiravapyate.
Dehavadbiravapyate.
Klesho dikataraspesham.
Klesho dikataraspesham.
Avyaktasaktachetasam.
Avyaktahigatirdukkam. Avyaktahigatirdukkam.
Dehavadbiravapyate.
Dehavadbiravapyate.
So Krishna says, klesho, kleshaha. Kleshaha means obstacles or pain. So pain will be more. adhikatarah. So klesham means pain. Adhikatarah. Adhikatarah means more. Adhikam. It's a Hindi word, like word used in many languages. Adhikatarah. So adhikatarah means adhikatarah means more. So klesham is more. More for what? Tesham. Tesham means of or for those people who avyakta asakta chetasam. Asakta chetasam. Chetasam means mind. Asakta chetasam means whose mind is asaktam. Asaktam means like mind is attracted. Mind is attached to avyaktam. So avyakta bhajanam. So for people whose mind is focusing on avyaktam, okay. If you, I don't know whether I have said, avyakta means unmanifested. That which is not manifested. Manifested means it doesn't have any nama-rupam. It is not into nama-rupam, which means it is nirguna, which means it is parabrahma. So that is avyakta. Though there is one level of difference between avyaktam and nirguna brahman, but generally that is what is here. Like avyaktam means nirgunam, formless. So avyakta asakta chetasam, for whose mind is concentrated on avyaktam, kleshaha adhikataraha. Klesham is more. So that means like Krishna is like so careful in using words. Klesham is more. That means don't think that klesham is there only for avyakta bhajanam. Klesham is also there for saguna. But klesham is more for nirguna bhakta. Why do you say klesham is more? Avyakta hi gati hi dukkam. Avyakta or avyaktam, avyakta bhajanam hi definitely gati hi dukkam. Dukkam gati hi. Dukkam is the gati, like it will lead a person to dukkham. So avyakta bhajanam will lead a person to dukkham. In that, if that was the statement of Krishna, it is incomplete. That means nobody can do avyakta bhajanam. If you do avyakta bhajanam, you won't attain me, you will attain dukkham. So deha vadbihi. Deha vadbihi means for people, deha vad. Deha vad means like who have the notion that dehoham. I am the deha. Deha vadbihi means who think that they have a body. That means they are the body, they have a body, they are the body, whatever way we can say. I mind with respect to body, either I am the body or I have a body. For people who have that, dukkam avapyati. Avapyati means attain. So the gati, the path itself or like the flow itself will lead them to dukkam. They will attain dukkam. So that means avya, for avyakta bhajanam, for nirguna bhajanam, for people who have the notion that I am the body, it will lead to dukkham. So Ramana Maharshi used to always say, how does a person like worship a form? Person worships a form if he thinks he is still the form. If I think I am a form, we cannot imagine about Brahman without a form, because it is like everything is related to what I am. Everything is related to what I have. Like when we meet Amma, we don't meet Amma to get whatever really comes out of Amma. We meet Amma in order to get things out of ourselves. Nobody goes to Amma saying, oh Amma, completely surrender, give me like whatever you want. Nobody says that, because we want from ourselves. So we see in everything or everywhere, we see ourselves or like a part of ourselves. So for people who think they are the form, or people who haven't overcome the form bondage, that means dehoham, I am the body bondage, such people, nirguna bhajanam will not only give them Ishvara, but it will cause more and more problem. It will not help them at all. So therefore, majority of the people are dehoham. If I am not the deha, if I am no longer the deha, if a person is able to say I am not a deha, then he will not worship any form. How do I know I am not a deha? I know I am not a deha because deham is mithya, deham is jadam, annamayam. It comes out of annam, it will go into annam, therefore it is limited, it is temporary, therefore I am not a deham. If that is the case with my deham, if I am able to negate my deham, then how can I accept Amma's form? How can I accept the form for Brahman? If my form itself I am negating, how can I accept some other form? So a person who is concentrating on Nirgunam, like he ideally a person who concentrates on nirgunam, he can do that only if he considers that he is not the body.
How is it being done, Mari? Because only with your mind or your intellect, your thinking, you're doing some action. So, how, like, you know, just to visualize
Mind, like, it's with the mind, everything is fine.
Okay.
But it's only when you try to limit things. It's not the problem with the mind or the mental view, but it's with thinking about in the mind that I am this body, therefore there is a form. The moment you say Nama Rupam is Mithya, the person is able to say Nama Rupam is Mithya, he will never go behind Sagunam. How can he go? Because that is also Sagunam means Sakaram, means there is an Akaram, which means there is a Rupam. That means how can he go for it? So in the, it's like, it's not, in the mind you can do it. Like if you have Nama Rupa Mithya in the mind, then automatically it is implemented. If you don't have that, then you cannot implement it.
How do they do the Nirguna?
Nirguna Upasana is like just negating the body. Negating the body means telling that Deho Nanam, I am not the Deha. Manu Buddhi.
Yeah.
So Shankara gives a way of like doing that in Nirvana Shatkam, that I am not this, I am not this. So more and more like being convinced, intellectually convinced that I am not the body, because the body changes. The body is different in waking state, the body is different in dream. In deep sleep there is no body, that's like Avastha Pramanalism again. The body is different in waking and dream, and it's not at all there in deep sleep. That means, but I am there in all those. Then that means I cannot be the body. If I am not the body, that is the conviction. So with that conviction, if you have the conviction that I am not the body, that means Nama Rupam is known as Nitya immediately. So that is the way of worshipping. It's not like not seeing any form or not taking care of your body. That's not the way. It's just in the mind that you say, this is Mithya. Okay, it is there. I see water in desert, it doesn't matter. But I know that it is unreal. That is the way. So it's quite simple in the mind to get the conviction that Nama Rupam is Mithya and negate through logic. Like you cannot just mentally repeat. Mentally repetition will not help because you are not convinced. So sometime it will fall off for some time. So that mental conviction is required. And for majority of the people, that Nama Rupam Mithya, they cannot be convinced of it. As long as they are not convinced of it, Nirguna Bhajanam is impossible. But still, some people just go behind Nirguna Bhajanam because that is direct way. That's what like Shankara and many others say. Therefore, people will think, oh, this is something direct, why should I go behind form? And also it's a matter of, it's a prestige issue, or like it's a comparative analysis, like you are Saguna Bhajanam, you are doing Saguna Bhajanam of Krishna, I am doing direct Nirguna Bhajanam. Sounds good. It's like nourishing the ego. The ego gets nourished again. So that's it. So what would happen is, you are trying to do Nirguna Bhajanam, but still you have Dehavadbihi. You are not convinced of Nama Rupam Mithya.
So then, in that case, it's
not even Nirguna Parama. That's what Krishna says. They are thinking that they are doing Nirgunam. Okay. That means it will pose more obstacles. More obstacle means what? To go on doing Nirguna Bhajanam. Oh, Paramatma said that I am the Self. I am the Self, I am the Self, I am the Self. Go on doing it. After some days, what will happen? There will only be Dukkam, and then such a person will say, oh, I did Nirguna Bhajanam, but still it didn't give me any happiness. Only led me to more and more sorrow. That means, that is what Krishna says, Dukkam. Gatihi Dukkam. So the Dukkam is the Gati. Dukkam is what person will attain if a person does Nirguna Bhajanam without being convinced, without knowing that the form is unclear. So that is very essential for Nirguna Bhajanam. And majority of the people cannot. Like if you can overcome the notion of I am the body, or the notion of Namarupam being real. If you can overcome that by asserting that Namarupam is Mithya, then you don't need any bhajanam. That itself is a bhajanam. That is where, like in the previous two shlokas, he said about that is the bhajanam. If you negate everything, that means like it is. Negate Namarupam means like your Namarupam or your body Namarupam or anything else. If you negate one Namarupam, it is negating everything. If you negate everything, there is only one entity which pervades. So automatically all the characteristics automatically comes there. So that is what is. Like if a person is able to do that, he will automatically be. He doesn't need any bhajanam because automatically pariyupasana happens and he realizes. But the majority of the people still have body notion. They have to take care of the body. We have to eat, we have to drink 3 times or 5 times coffee we have to drink. If not, like others will force you to drink. That also happens. In whatever is the case, but we cannot, majority of the people cannot overcome the notion of body, overcome namarupam. Or like namarupam to be real, the notion that namarupam is real, they cannot overcome. Therefore, nirgunam is tough. Nirgunam is direct, but still, majority of the people cannot really attain that. Like they cannot. So some people might follow, thinking that they are following nirgunam. They are not really following, but they say they follow. They think they follow, and it will only lead to dukkha. So Krishna is telling that don't even. Try for it if you have deham notion. Yes.
Just one more question. Yeah. So in that case, do they also do the nishkama karma? That is
what?
A part of the
nirguna bhakta. For nirguna bhakta, there is no karma, right? Like karma arises out of dvaitam.
But they cannot stay.
You will see them as doing actions, but they don't do actions.
They
in
don't
karma.
Do
like Amma says, okay, there is no action. Naishkarmiyam, she spoke about naishkarmiyam yesterday. Like. I am wrong. Nishkarmiyam, like the avastha where there is no karma. So in from Amma's heart, like she speaks about state that okay, I am not doing any action. It just happens. That's it.
Okay. Upon the even the realized jnanis also they also do the karma that way, like jivan muktas. Like
yeah, but
they,
that is from your perspective. From your perspective, you are seeing from an ajnani's perspective.
Okay.
That they are doing actions. It's like asking, okay, I am dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So like afternoon I am dreaming while Srini is working in office. So I am dreaming and Srini is working in office, but I see him in my dream world as dreaming.
Okay.
How is it possible?
Okay.
You're trying to link.
So in that case, like who is Nirguna Upasaka, he's still doing the karma.
From your perspective.
From my perspective again.
That's
okay.
Why Loka Drishti, Jnana Drishti is what
so
Ramabhaya says.
So both are like then, they are also, he is also Jivan Muktava.
Who?
The one who does the Nirguna Upasaka.
He is like so Brahman, again, he is one with Brahman, so there is no Jivan Mukti or Videya Mukti, anything like that. There is nothing like that for him because he is Brahman. Te prapnuvanti mameva. So they are not my bhaktas.
Okay.
Tesham jnani nityukta eka bhakti vishishyate. Because the jnani udara sarvayevete jnani tu atmaeva me matam. Jnanis are one with me. That means, how can we have action? So if we think, oh, Krishna also did action. In that case, what does Krishna say in the 21st shloka of 3rd chapter? Name partha asti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. Oh Arjuna, know that like I don't have any duty in the three worlds. That's why Vivekananda said at the end of his life that glad I did big blunders. That's what he said at the end, like to his disciple, that glad I did big blunders. That means he is of the view that all these are not at all required, there is nothing at all. I mean there is nothing. But from a ajnani perspective, you will still see the jnani as doing action. The reason why you see the jnani and you question that the jnani is doing action means that you still have the difference between jnani and ajnani. That means you are not seeing oneness everywhere, which means you are an ajnani, you don't have this nirguna upasana. So like we will not be able to, that's the reason why it is also said anirdheshyam achintyam. We cannot think about that state. We can just try to hint at that state, telling that such a person will not do action, such a person cannot do action. We can only just hint at it.
Okay.
That's the reason why in the 3rd chapter Krishna speaks about karma. He says, loka sangraham eva api sampashyan kartum arhasi. Loka sangraham, why are jnanis doing actions? So Krishna says, loka sangraham, they are for the welfare of the world, they do it. Sarva bhuta hite rataha. Can that really happen? Samabuddhaya, then how is sarva bhuta hite rataha? But Krishna is explaining to Arjuna. Yadyadacharati sreshtas tatta devaita rojanaha sayapramanam kurute lokasthalanu vartate. Krishna says that though the jnani doesn't need to do any action, but they do action because they are role models. Other people follow them. This is from the perspective of an ajnani. Because immediately in the fourth chapter, Krishna says, sarvam karma akhilam pata jnane parisamapyate. All actions end in knowledge. Doesn't that explain it? If a jnani means there is no karma, the state of naishkarmiyam. But from the ajnani's perspective, that has to be explained. Therefore, an intermediate explanation, trying to pacify people. Ultimately, what? Nakashchit jayate jivaha ambavo asyana vidyate. Like second chapter of Gaudapada Karika, if you see the last shloka, that is what Gaudapada says. There is no jiva created. Then like somebody might ask, okay, there is no jiva created, but can it be possible? So there is no possibility. Sambhavo asya na vidyate asya sambhavah. The possibility of this happening, that means jiva getting created, is not at all there. Na vidyate, it is not at all there. That means there is no jiva, there is nothing at all. But still, for the vyavaharika level, for people, ajnanis like us, Krishna says, and Mahatma says that, okay, if you see somebody doing actions, then temporarily, like know that there is nothing like that, but still, temporarily just accept that they do action, but they are not the karta. So that is the way, that is why it is said, kutastam. So they do action, they are witness. So ego is still there, it does action, but still, it is just a witness. It is the lamp. Kadhyaranya speaks about nataka deepam. In Panchadashi, he speaks about the theater, the lamp. So irrespective of whether the stage, actors, audience, all those are there, the light is always shining. Whether they are there or not, the light is still shining. That means, the jnani is his witness, he is Sakshi Brahman, he is always there, he is always blissful, whether actions are there or not. When actions are there, the pot is there, he becomes Kutastha, he becomes Ghatakasham. When pot is not there, he becomes Mahakasham, he becomes Brahman. Both are the same. If you go through Mayavada Darpanam, the portion where explanation of 15th chapter of Gita, the last few shlokas, you can find this analysis or comparison between Kutastha and Brahman. You should go through it, so you will understand as to there is a difference, but there is no difference, no real difference. So it is Ajnani's perspective. We can question, okay, karma, will there be there, will it not be there, will it not be there and all. From this perspective, we can only say that, okay, we see Amma doing action, therefore actions are there. There will be a witness to action, but there is no action at all in that state.
Amma is not doing any action.
That's what she says in From Amma's Heart. If you go through Amma's Heart, from Amma's Heart, like she openly says that, I am the Sakshi, I am Brahman, there is no action happening. So though like that's why I said like it's very tough to, like we are not Durguna Bhaktas to understand that, therefore like we can just take it that we are Sakshi. So it is an easy way, like rather than telling Amma is not doing action, they are just the Sakshi of their ego, whatever is doing action. Our ego is a small ego, Amma's ego is a big ego. It's like Brahma. Amma's ego is Mahat Tattum, it's called Brahma. Brahma is the one like, Brahma can be considered to Virat. Virat means, what is Virat?
External
spiritual
cross
system.
Cross macrocosm. So the collective ego is called Brahma. So that is where these Mahatmas are. These Mahatmas, whenever they are doing action, they are not like us. They are not limited to one form, but it becomes collective. That's where like in Harinama Kirtanam, the author says, in Malayalam book Harinama Kirtanam, he says, O Ishvara, O Krishna, O Narayana, if, like I shouldn't have ego, but if at all I have ego, then let me have the thought that everything is mine. So with Amma, Om Brihat Senayai Namaha. Brihat Sena. Brihat means very big, huge. Sena, army. How does Devi have a huge army? Because the entire world is her army. That's what Lalitadasarasrama says. So that means, if there is ego, let me have the ego that everything is mine. In that case, you cannot have any ragadvesham. Ragadvesham means, some people are mine, some people are not mine. So that doesn't happen. So you can just consider that like these Mahatmas are at that plane. They are Brahma, we are individual ego. If at all we can become like Brahma, temporarily that is enough. Or like whenever a theatre play is going on, there is no real play. Like Vidyaranya speaks about another thing in Chitra Deepam. Panchadashi, he speaks about a canvas sheet where things are drawn or like projected. So once that is over, what happens? You just fold it. So when you unfold it, that is creation. You see everything happening, but are then those writings or drawings really there? Are projections really there? They are not there. Only the canvas is there. Canvas is a substratum in which all these are projected. When you unfold, everything vanishes. Everything comes. When you fold it, everything goes. So in this case, like it is unfolded. Unfortunately, it is unfolded for us. So just take it that, okay, all these are there. It's like dream world experience. I'm in a huge, like very long dream. It's going on, like it has been going on since age. Ages are like, for many, many years, millions of years or millions of births, we should say. Been going on, let it go on. So whatever way, like Vedanta is not specific about only you should think that Mahatma is only Brahman. They are not doing action. Don't have the Sakshi Bhavan. They are only Brahman. They are not doing any action. Have this view. Or like somebody else saying, okay, they are just the Sakshi. They are not Brahman. They are Sakshi. Or in other case, like they are not Sakshi or Brahman. They are only Brahma. They do welfare for the entire world. So Vedanta doesn't say that you should follow one view. Any view which will help you to understand it temporarily until you realize it's fine. Remembering that logically they cannot do action because they themselves are unreal. The form itself, again it comes to Namarupam. Their form is mithya means how can actions happen out of the form? Form is mithya, so the action that comes out of the form has to be mithya. The Son of Mithya, it will be like Sun, Surya, Surya Deva. Surya Deva's son is, who is Surya Deva's son?
Karna.
Saturn is Surya Deva's son. Surya is like a little bit dangerous, like even like power, showing power. Some people are like have Surya like me, like they show power, power in words. Okay, you sit down and listen to Gita, even though it is time for lunch. I will not leave you. Listen to Gita. So some, like, sun itself means like a little bit dangerous. Sun, I don't know whether pronunciation is different. It's the same in English. Maybe the fault in English. Sun's putra. Putra is Shani. Shani is very dangerous. Like Shani, it can like air a Shani like Sadesh Sati or something they call. Like 7 love years of Saturn. Saturn can, like whenever Saturn position is bad, Amma herself like says that. Whenever all these times are there, you have to experience at least to an extent. Amma cannot nullify, but she can reduce it. So Shani itself is that way. Very dangerous. Shani's son is there. Shani's putra is called Mahandi. It's a planet called Mahandi. So, yeah, Mahandi. So it is, so it's very rarely known. Astrologers don't look into it. This Mahandi is very dangerous that if it is in some position like in the ascendant, like in astrology, if it is in ascendant or some position, it can lead to very short life, accidental death, immediate death and all. A lot of ways that. So, son's pautra. Pautra means grandson. So, son's putra itself is very dangerous. So, what to speak about pautra? So, like the form of Amma itself is nitya. So, what to speak about the form son? Form putra, which is action arising out of the form. So just like whichever way we can understand, whichever way we can understand it without conflicting our view about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that is fine. Whichever view. That's why Sagunam or Nirgunam, it doesn't matter. Whatever is comfortable for you, take it. In Nirgunam, you are concentrating on Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya directly. In Sagunam, you are concentrating on the form, but Shraddhaya Pareyoketaha. Here also, you need to remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So whichever way you are able to remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, it's well and good. If you can remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya always by singing, then you don't need to learn Gita. 12th chapter you don't need to learn. Like you don't need to hear to all rubbish statements for 1 hour. You can just go on singing like Aparnadas. You can go on singing. Singing in Venkata Ramana, Venkata Ramana, Venkata Ramana. You can go on singing Vittala, 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 Vittala. You can go on singing. That will lead to moksha. That's what Vedanta says. But if you remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, so don't ask me like, I have been doing that, I haven't realized yet. So there is something wrong in that.
So that means, did Buddha attain Lord Krishna?
Buddha didn't attain Lord Krishna, Buddha attained Brahman. That is fine. Lord Krishna is a form, right? So that's the reason why Krishna, when he says, Te prapnuvanti mameva. So these people are concentrating on what object? Avyaktam anirdeshyam. So it's like telling if they are worshipping anirdeshyam but they still attain the form of Krishna. It's like telling I'll take US 1 south but still I will reach New York. It's impossible. Okay, maybe it is possible. You'll take a U-turn or something like that. If you go south, you cannot reach New York. Similarly, if Buddha concentrated on the form Krishna, but it's not that way, like Buddha didn't attain the form of Krishna, but he attained what Krishna called himself, which is number of
Nirguna people attain Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, Krishna is a form, like Krishna himself says that whenever he uses in Gita, it is like Krishna is a form like Amma. There are 33 crore devatas, 33 crore forms in Hinduism. So that form is like just stands for Brahman. Like Amma gives a very beautiful example. We at the time, like most of the time, what we do is like we hang photos of our grandparents. We hang photos of grandparents in our house. The photo is not a grandfather. But still, it stands for the grandfather. It makes us remember the grandfather. Similar is form of Sagunam. That where Shraddhaya Parayopetaha. So directly, if you have to realize, only Nirgunam can take you to realization. But Sagunam, slowly they will realize. How will they realize? Sagunam, only majority of the people will do. So how will they realize? In that case, you have to listen to the next two shlokas later on. So until then, no questions regarding that. But for now, so if that particular form, like the picture of grandfather reminds us of our grandfather, it's not the grandfather, but still reminds us of the grandfather. Similarly, all these forms are meant to stand for Brahman. So that's the reason why Avaja Ananti Ma Mudaha Manushim Tanuma Sritam Ashratam. People like are fools who consider me as limited to this human form of Krishna. What Krishna gave in the 9th chapter. So that form is just a way of getting concentration. Sagunam. Klesho adhikataraha tesham. It's very tough for people. They have a bhi, therefore just take a form. Whichever form is suitable, take it. So it's not like Buddha didn't attain the form of Krishna, but whatever Krishna calls himself as I, Nirguna Brahman, that Buddha didn't attain. And there is no question that you don't need to doubt whether how do you know he attained? I need proof. Like, how do you say this? Because you are also that only. Okay, not only you, I am also that. Okay, don't. Shanti, you are also that. Don't laugh. Don't say, okay, he didn't tell about me. So you are also. Everybody is included. You are one of the career. You are eliminated temporarily. terminated. So like all forms are there, and therefore a person like who gets bliss, there's only one way to get moksha. There's only one way to get moksha, and that one way is becoming or realizing our own nature of that Nirguna Brahman, that Sphuranam. That is what I said, like the Sphuranam or the Sphurti. That is the way we can know the Self. And the only way to get bliss is by realizing that. So if Buddha was about to spread peace, was like, not about, like was able to spread peace, he was able to be blissful, then that means he realized that Self. That means he realized that Nirguna Brahman. Chit, Bodham, Self, Brahman, everything are the same. They are like synonyms. So Buddha did attain Brahman because he is already Brahman. Don't get too confused. Like, yeah, he, like if he was able to like spread peace, like if after his time, even now, like the very fact that we are speaking about him is a testimony that like, he had bliss. Yes, we won't talk about it. Like when people complain about Amma, there is a journalist, like very popular journalist in Kerala, like he always writes articles about Amma. About Amma, against Amma. So about, against Amma. Yeah, if it makes sense. So like one of the Swamiji was getting angry. Like he spoke that he was getting angry that, oh, how can this person write? So Amma like consoled him. And the Swamiji realized, what is that? Wherever like you have some power, wherever you have bliss, there will be people always revolting against you. There will be some like bad words, because publicity is like there for these Mahatmas. That will always be there. Krishna was accused of stealing the Simandakam jewel. Nothing worse can happen like in for us at least. So there will be like such like there will be people like speaking about against all these Mahatmas and all. But still, the reason we are speaking about Buddha itself is in every testimony that he has realized that state. Yeah, we will stop. And I'm sure.